We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. Neil's in the Clark Ford Studio. I'm at home this morning getting an audio version of the show because spring football observation day is upon us around 9:15, 9:30, 9:45. I don't know, something like that here this morning. Content of that at rebelgrove.com today as the day goes on. We get players today. We get offensive players today is the press conference portion of the proceedings. So that'll set that up.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All three quarterbacks was at least tentatively talked about. We will see where that happens. Hold on. Let me get through ads. We'll get there in a minute. You got time. We're going to be here for a minute. Jeffrey Wright's going to join us in, I don't know, 5-10 minutes whenever he gets set up and in this Zoom conversation that we're having right now. But the podcast brought to you every day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You know the score by now. You know there's plenty of availability to win some box seats for Ole Miss baseball. Blue Sky giving those away. Four of them for every series finale this season. That includes Sunday 1:30 against the Gators at Swayze Field. Use hashtag Rebel Ready. You at the Oxford Exxon, and you are entered into that drawing, that contest, whatever you want to call it, to win some box seats. Also get your lunch specials coming into town this weekend. Get some ribs, the hot cakes, so many different options there with Blue Sky locations up and down I-55 throughout North Mississippi as well, including here in Oxford. And again, Neil's in the Clark Ford studio.
I am Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Clark Ford's different. The service is just different. It's been kind of Clark Ford month here at the McCready House. And just there, they answer the bell every time you need something, every time you are trying to arrange something, get things done on a certain timetable. Our timetable's weird because two kids don't live in town, but their vehicles need work that's there. So Corey and the people at Clark Ford work with you, and they'll work with you as well. 662-257-1900. Call that number. You'll find out why Corey and the people there want to be your car guy and they want to be your truck guy. Jeffrey Wright, I will join on the MyPerfectFranchise.net hotline. If you're a displaced corporate executive or you're wanting to put your career in your own hands, maybe you're an experienced entrepreneur who's just looking to diversify. Regardless, Andy Ludeke can help. He's a guy who owns multiple franchises and businesses. He uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy. Put your life and your career in your own hands. It's 100% free. You have nothing to lose. Find your perfect franchise at MyPerfectFranchise.net or call Andy anytime. Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net or 404-973-9901.
So I'm going to let you continue your football thought in just a second, but I will say this quickly because otherwise I will forget about it as we continue the show, is that, again, the women's basketball team plays Louisville on Friday night, 7 o'clock West Coast, 9 o'clock here. The Athletic this morning found the stat that makes the most sense for their rise. Offensive rebounding percentage nationally, they've gone from 263rd when she took over to 15th this season. There's the rise there from an offensive rebound standpoint, the increased possessions. And in that same metric yesterday where they pulled out the analytics on the men's and the upset potentials, it actually wouldn't be an upset. That that database or whatever that does to give the Athletic the percentages, giving Ole Miss a 55% chance of winning the game Friday night against Louisville, actually is the statistical favorite.
Well, that would be something.
That would be something. So, anyway, just found that. I put that on the message board. I put the full link. I also pulled out some of the relevant stats from that article, some of the things they were talking about from that standpoint. And that you can read there. Also a story in the Wall Street Journal this morning on Ole Miss's women's basketball coach, Let McPhee McEwen. So that at rebelgrove.com and more. So anyway, go ahead. Yeah, so what happened? We were in the press conference area earlier in the week. They gave us defensive players, talked to those guys, Jared Ivey, Aishim Young, Lane Kiffin spoke as well. And they said that offensive players would be today, and they said the tentative plan, or they, Kyle Campbell said the tentative plan was to give all three quarterbacks, who Lane said did throw and throw effectively during practice on Tuesday.
So what are the odds that all three quarterbacks make it to the room today?
Okay, but here's the question to that. If it's not all three, isn't it zero?
Oh,
do they allow you to only bring do they allow the perception to only bring one or two? Or does it at least have to be Dart and Sanders?
I would think it at least has to be Dart and Sanders, because those are the only ones that are going to get awkward questions, if there are awkward questions to ask. And there are. It's just a matter of whether you really want to ask.
Is today the day? Yeah.
Is today the day to ask? I mean, Hey
what Spencer, happened? We've never spoken to you before, but hey, are you going to be here in August if you lose the gig?
If you haven't been promised the gig, are you still going to be here in August? It's a good question.
It's a little bit of an asshole question on March 23rd.
It's a little early, and then if you don't ask it, people go, you're a coward. No, you think about these things, and you weigh. Because look, you asked that question today, and you're always going to be the guy that you're the jerk that asked that question forever.
Trent Krim would ask the question.
There's no doubt. Carson and I watched episode 2 of season 3 of Ted Lasso last night. It's good. Starting slow, though. It's a slow.
Okay.
It's good, though. It's good. They do a good job.
Okay.
Trent Krim would definitely ask the question.
I don't think today is the day for that question. I feel like you've got to see, because here's the deal. That question could be moot. We could see 2 or 3 weeks of practice and go, okay, it's a lot like last season, or it's a lot like when Chad Kelly was fighting Ryan Buchanan for the job, where you go, we're going to do this, but this is also incredibly obvious. And does it, if there's no.
Here's the difference.
Okay.
And this is where Lane set it up to make it awkward. And for the record, I don't think Lane cares that it's awkward.
No, I don't either. I think, I don't mean this in a bad way. I think Lane is comfortable with awkward more than most people are.
Agreed. Yeah, I would agree with that. Lane said, hey, you know, we've got time, got the spring, got the fall. And I was like, you got the spring, but do you really have the fall? Like, can you really do this in August? Can you really? Because if you're Jackson Dart and you were the quarterback last season, you didn't start one game, but only because they were playing semantics.
Sure.
You were the starting quarterback. You started every significant game last season. You played, I thought, well. You put up the numbers that you put up. You answered the bell every time it rang. You go through spring, and then you got to go through fall camp again as, hey, I don't know whether you're the starter or not. I mean, At some point, you're either the chosen girl or you're not, right? I mean, if you aren't. Does that make sense? If you can't say, hey, Jackson, you're my quarterback, well, that's because I'm not your quarterback. It's not because you haven't decided. It's because we're playing games. And as the first day of classes start, and look, again, if you're Jackson Dart and you're not the starting quarterback next season, you're better off someplace else where you're the quarterback of the future than you are staying at Ole Miss, where you might never be the quarterback again. Now, he'll graduate, and so he could do the grad transfer thing after next season.
Sure.
But do you really want to put on the line on your resume that I lost the job? I just think it's a weird spot for him. I can't get past you don't bring Spencer Sanders in to be the third team quarterback. And people go, well, he's the backup. Nope. They told Walker Howard he's the backup. I feel 100% confident in that. They told Walker Howard, you're not going to be the third team quarterback. Because if you told him, hey, look, you have to be the third team quarterback for another year, he would have just stayed where he was. He was happy at LSU in every other aspect of his life except that one.
I mean, look, I'm doing a little bit of the devil's advocate here, but here's the thing. I don't know that Lane cares. Like, so it, I guess that is weird, but I don't mean it in like, but I don't think that's occupying his mind today. Because here's the deal, from a tangible standpoint, tangible, which at the end of the day, all that really matters to Lane Kiffin is they have a starting quarterback in the fall that is the best of the three options that he currently has. And yes, they signed NIL deals to three quarterbacks, which is kind of weird, and it increases what we're talking about and just being an oddity in tons of ways, because you typically don't have three people in this situation from that standpoint. But then at the same time, it's void if somebody leaves. So who cares? Like, this is Tulane. What difference does it make? I guess is where I'm at with this right now. Now, here is what I'm curious about. Who's going to lead in the summer? Are you going to have two factions of people where these wide receivers are kind of with this dude and these wide receivers are kind of with this dude? Yep. Who's sending the text at 6:15 in the morning? Go, hey, guys, get your ass out there. Let's go. We beat Tulane today, not in September, all that kind of stuff. Like, who does that? Because a lot of times that tells you who the quarterback is. It does. There is an alpha that sort of takes precedent over the course of the summer.
And well, so when they both do it,
two alphas,
it becomes fractious. There's no way that it doesn't.
Jeffrey now is on the call, by the way. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm well, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Oh, we're lovely. Debating the same thing we've debated for 2 weeks and we'll debate for the next 6 months.
I mean, I actually think the most interesting aspect of it all is the last point that Chase just made. Like, I don't know. When I was down there, I don't feel like we ever really covered a team. Like, even like when you had the facade of Chad Kelly versus Ryan versus Devontae Kincaid, like, we showed up at one spring practice. We're like, okay, Chad's quarterback.
Yeah. There hasn't been, no, because I mean, it would have been Bo before that, and he was obviously the quarterback. There hasn't been a true, hey, this is a competition where we have no idea. And this tells you the dark time of Ole Miss football. It was the spring that Neil and I charted every single freaking pass of Barry Brunetti, Randall Mackey, and Zach Stout.
Yeah, the three-headed monster. Every pass.
Yes. And that is proof of if you have three quarterbacks, you don't have one. That was when they brought Bo Wallace in. They didn't. I kind of feel like I'm just harping on this. And for the record, I really like Jackson Dart. I like his family. I like him. If you told me, hey, cheer for one of these guys to be the quarterback, I'll probably cheer for Jackson because I like him.
The one you know.
Yeah. That being said, when Hugh Freeze brought Bo Wallace in, he brought Bo Wallace in to be the quarterback. When Hugh Freeze brought Chad Kelly in, yeah, we played theater, but Hugh Freeze brought Chad Kelly in because he said, I got to have a quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't do it because, hey, you know what? It'd be great to add some depth to the room. No.
We know the day it happened. It was the Saturday of the Arkansas game when Neil and I went to Fayetteville and Chad got hurt, or not Chad, sorry, Bo got hurt, I don't know, second quarter maybe?
Yeah, it was second quarter.
Second quarter, he got hurt, and then they played both of them, and then Bo couldn't practice that next week, so they were trying to get Ryan and Devontae ready, and that was the that was when Hugh made his decision that Chad needed saving.
That's precisely right. He figured out on that The Egg Bowl that year was on a Saturday, and he figured out, I think by Tuesday or Wednesday, they were told, hey, I think Bo's going to be able to go, but Bo does not need to practice.
Right.
And so practice these other guys. And so I think it allowed Hugh to exhale a minute and go, okay, I'm going to have my quarterback on Saturday, but I'm going to trust the trainers here. I'm not going to practice him because I don't think Bo took a practice snap until Thursday. So on Tuesday and Wednesday, it let him, with the kind of a clear head, go, okay, what do I have at quarterback? And the answer was not good. And so they went from, you know what, we're not going to take Chad Kelly, to we're going to go get Chad Kelly. And when they, but to my point, when you bring Chad Kelly in that year, it was not to compete for the job. Yeah, there was a facade about that, but it wasn't to compete for the job. It was because it was his job. And so when you bring in a guy with 41 career starts in his final season of eligibility, who's the former Big 12 player of the year, you're probably not historically bringing him in to not be your quarterback. It just, but hey, look, Lane's different. And I don't mean that in a bad way. And it is certainly possible that what Lane said on Tuesday is face value. And you should take it that way, that he's like, hey, look, it's my job to rebuild every room in the building, wide receiver room, running back room, offensive line, blah, blah, blah. And I made the quarterback room better. And that was my job. And let the chips fall where they may. That is certainly a possibility. I'm just not sure that after doing this for as long as I've done this, I'm not sure that I buy it.
Jeffrey, real quick, Neil and I talked about it yesterday. Where do you put any credence into Chris Lowe knew something when he wrote Spencer Sanders as the starter when he was doing that hypothetical field of 64 for Ole Miss in the fall?
I don't ignore it.
Yeah. Neil, it's not nothing, is it?
Isn't that the right approach typically? I mean,
yeah, come on.
He either knows or expects, or as I said, he did that thing where Lane goes, yeah, you know, that's probably the dude. And he goes, hey, I'm going to get this in print somehow where I can come back to it later that I had it.
I've known Chris Lowe since
30 years.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. My first year on the Auburn beat. So 1998. So I've known Chris Lowe for 25 years. You won't meet a nicer person. You won't meet a more thoughtful person, which leads me to this, what you just said, Chase, which is I don't think it would not be par for the Chris Lowe course for Chris to put that name in there without thinking about what the ramifications would be. Chris isn't a big ego guy, but he knows he works for ESPN and he knows a lot of people read his stuff. And so when he writes that, he knows that every Ole Miss fan is going to read every Ole Miss entry of the tournament until Ole Miss is eliminated from the hypothetical tournament that didn't happen. And so when he writes that, he knows, hey, if I write Spencer Sanders' name here instead of Jackson Dart's, that is going to create some speculation. And Chris is not one for controversy. He's not Mr. Hot Take. He's not out there looking for clicks. Chris is pretty settled. He's good to go. He wrote that because he knew something. That doesn't mean that it won't change, but it means that if you asked Chris Lowe today, based on what you know, who do you anticipate being Ole Miss's quarterback in the fall? He would say Spencer Sanders.
Yeah, I just kind of look at it. It's like, okay, who has been embedded with Lane multiple times? Chris Lowe. And I think the other thing that is important to remember, we are talking about Lane Kiffin here. This is somebody that changes his mind frequently, and changes his mind erratically. And it's entirely possible that he is going in with the intention of Spencer Sanders being his starting quarterback, and then he realizes, well, Spencer Sanders isn't the best quarterback that I have. Because I do believe that this is true. Whoever gives Lane Kiffin the best chance to win games, I think that's who he's going to play. I don't think that it's going to be, well, I like this kid more than I like that kid. Now, it's entirely possible personal feelings could maybe emotionally impact his decision, like on a subconscious level. But I believe that he's truly doing a quarterback competition, and whoever he believes gives him the best chance. I mean, look at it last year. I think it's probably possible Lane quote unquote liked Luke Altmyer more than he liked Jackson Dart. Well, Jackson Dart was the better quarterback, so he played Jackson. I think that it'll be the same this year.
Yeah, I look back on that and I think why did they bring in Jackson Dart after they had seen what they had in Luke Altmyer backing up Matt Corral? And I think they brought Jackson Dart in to be the quarterback. I always felt that. I mean, I know there was a competition, if you will, but
we talked about this last fall. When you bring in another guy, unless it is, you know, I tried to do the math. It was something like 85% of the guys that I could name that were brought in to be someone else's quarterback, they wound up being the quarterback. Now, maybe all of them didn't finish the year being the quarterback, but all of them, for the most part, started.
For that, dude, I tell you about G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, and they offer MedSync. Fill your prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you. One trip to the pharmacy, one delivery. You have everything you need when you need it from G&M. They'll also transfer your medications very easily. One call, they take care of the rest. So whether it's Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs or G&M Pharmacy in Oxford, that's 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by our friends at Walk-On's Sports Bistro. Walk-On's puts everything they've got into bringing you game day with the taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering, made-from-scratch Louisiana cuisine, po' boys, gumbo, voodoo shrimp, plus fan favorites like juicy burgers, fresh salads, all in front of 70-plus TVs, 40-plus ice-cold beers on tap. Inquire about their family and friends bundles, their tailgate platters. Also order online at walkons.com or on their convenient Walk-On's app. So visit Walk-On's in Oxford or Ridgeland, especially if you're in the Oxford or Jackson area. Tell them how much you appreciate them sponsoring MPW Digital. The College Corner is your one-stop Rebel Shop with two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, it's next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, just go to collegecornerstore.com. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram with the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. We're brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating, different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or that area, call the people at Comer, 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or that area, call the people at Southern, 662-429-4429. A-Stock Auctions is a Nashville-based online auction company with the mission to provide customers the power to name their price. All items at A-Stock start at just $1. That's right. Every item starts at just $1. Shop now at astock.bid or download their app. Name your price on thousands of items from big-name retailers. A-Stock Auctions has multiple locations around Nashville that offer local pickups. So don't miss out. If you want it, bid it, win it. And we're brought to you by Solutions RX. It's a probiotic multivitamin supplement company created by Ole Miss Pharmacy alum Chris Cornelison. It's pharmaceutical grade. It's manufactured right here inside the U.S. under the highest standards based out of Mississippi. If you take diabetes meds, high blood pressure meds, cholesterol medications, you typically, you typically get some side effects like muscle pain, brain fog, energy loss due to a depletion of minerals and vitamins in the body. But Chris formulated a product called Prescription Support, puts those vitamins back into the body, helps with those side effects, keeps you more compliant taking your medications, and keeps you healthier. Over the long term, it's solutionsrx.com. It's also available in local independent pharmacies across the continental U.S., including Mississippi. But solutionsrx.com, promo code OEP at checkout. Get 10% off your first order.
Podcast also brought to you by Prime Shrimp, primeshrimp.com. Seven different flavors available for you, including their New Orleans-style barbecue shrimp. They have two different meals in a bag option, the Simply Shrimp. The lemon cracked pepper is very good. It's very versatile along with the signature. So many different options with Prime Shrimp. Use code RG, 5 packs or more, 25% off there with Prime Shrimp. So again, they deliver it straight to your house, fewer than 10 minutes, freezer to plate, and they take care of you. So again, Prime Shrimp, code RG at checkout, 25% off, 5 packs or more.
Yeah, we're supposed to get all three quarterbacks today, Jeffrey. Is the reason we got on this conversation is we get offensive players in the press conference today, and they said that tentatively all three quarterbacks would be available.
Talk about Ja Morant for the third week in a row. By all means, like, get me where I'm comfortable, boys. Let's talk about reading the field. You know, who's seeing the third option? Like, who's not paying attention to rolling from 3 to 4? You know, like I need to know.
So here's the thing that you hear around the program is that they weren't thrilled with Jackson Dart's decision making, that he missed open reads, that there were receivers open, that there were big plays to be had. He didn't see it. And that, hey, he's got to become a better reader of defenses. He's got to process it quicker, or else they're going to get somebody else in who will. I mean, that.
But really, isn't that either an expectation that they believe Jackson will be able to do that or not be able to do that versus he didn't do that? Because it's more about development on what you see as Jackson Dart's ceiling on why you bring that guy in. Because Lane went out of his way the entire season to go, hey, guys, look, and he's talking to the fans, but he said, this isn't Matt Corral his senior year. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be growing pains. There's going to be all these things. He said that over and over and over and over again. So then at the same time, when Jackson makes those same mistakes, that's prophecy. That's what was expected already. So really, it's more about, does Lane Kiffin believe Jackson Dart has the capacity to get to the level of Matt Corral, right? Not whether or not he was there last year.
So I don't think it's any coincidence that Spencer Sanders was the quarterback that they brought in. And the reason why I say that is Jackson's entire career, even in high school, Jackson was basically air raid guy. It was not RPO stuff. I mean, I believe there's like a quote of Jackson saying, like, I mean, we like maybe at USC they did a little RPO, but for the most part, he's like, his first time running a base RPO offense was with Lane. And Spencer Sanders almost his entire career has been RPO. Like, even when he was, you know, in Texas at Oklahoma State, like, he clearly has run a version of this offense. Now, he hasn't run it with like the way that Ole Miss does, tempo, everything, but he's comfortable making the reads. I will say, though, I think last year was the first time that I don't think Lane tooled his offense. I felt like Lane was trying to ask somebody in his, like, to run his offense and essentially run his system. Typically before that, I felt like Lane would figure out what he has and then would kind of tool an offense around it. I think that also shows you how strongly he believes that this system is an advantage. If he did not believe that this system was an advantage, I don't think that he would have done that. So, but I mean, the other thing about, do I believe that Jackson Dart, given time and reps, could never run this offense? Like, no, I don't. I just think that when you've been trained to play that position a certain way, when you're doing it a completely different way, there's a level of discomfort. And I think we kind of saw that because we talked about this during the fall. I never felt like Jackson was like truly lost. I just felt like he was kind of a bit slow going through it. And I think you're a bit slow going through it when it almost feels like you're going through a checklist in your head.
And it's why when we see Jackson Dart in the, by the time the fall gets here, we'll know kind of where he's at with that, because it'll be another full year in the system and it's not brand new anymore.
I mean,
it's not spinning anymore. Whatever you see as we get into August, September, that's what it is. To an extent, obviously.
I keep coming back to Walker Howard on this. I if he was told, and look, is it possible that every person who's told me this is wrong? Sure. But I've done this a long time. And when everyone says the same thing, my instinct tells me that it's basically accurate. He was told he'll be the backup quarterback. You're going to get number two. You're going to compete for the starting job, but you're going to be the number two quarterback. We're going to get you ready. You are the quarterback of the future. They told him, hey, we're bringing in Spencer Sanders. He only has 1 year left. We're bringing him in. So don't be freaked out when you hear that. Because in fact, that's kind of how it all got out, was that this Sanders thing's true. So Walker Howard's coming in. He's going to get those reps.
The mislogic in that is just an expectation and a guarantee he's going to beat out Jackson Dart, who was the quarterback and still has 2 years of eligibility remaining. Because Jackson's not going pro at the end of the year. So, like,
it's why I think,
you know what I mean?
I think we're making this more complicated than it has to be, but I understand why we are doing it. I understand the thought exercise, and I just kind of have a feeling that I sort of know how this book ends.
Because here's the other part, and again, I'm not saying this is what's happening. I don't know. I'm not speaking for Lane Kiffin. We're just throwing every possible option out there. If Jackson Dart is the quarterback and Spencer Sanders is third team, he's just going to leave and go down a level, or he's going to stay and not do anything. So what difference does it make to Lane Kiffin?
Well, and he would in a day and age where no one has quarterback depth, he's going to have quarterback depth.
And yeah, and well, I guess my point is, I don't know that that's necessarily a killed locker room, because Spencer's leaving and going down a level or just kind of stuck at that point. He hadn't been here long enough to have a ton of allies on the team necessarily. And then in addition, it's not like screwing Walker Howard, where Walker had all these different options and that was a big time get and all this kind of portal stuff. Spencer didn't have a lot of options. So there's not a lot of other teams going, well, gosh, damn, he lied to him and we didn't get him and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I get it's not the most above board thing in the world, but I don't know that that's necessarily prohibitive to the team in the fall either.
Well, I think we're all on the same page. I don't believe, like, to be clear, I think if all of us, if someone put a gun to our head and said, who's taking the first snap on, what do they play, August 31st? What's their first?
Whatever.
Yeah, sure. Mercer.
Does anyone want to? Does anyone want to bet against Spencer Sanders? Anybody want to take that plus sign?
No. No. Not me. I mean, if you ask me, hey, who do you want to put your money on to be the starting quarterback when they play Mercer week one? Barring something cute, I'm going Spencer Sanders.
I'm just confused.
I think you're confused because on a certain level, you're like, why him? Like, why Spencer Sanders? And
because I thought Jackson Dart was pretty good. I think he can get better. Like, I just feel like it's called, like, I don't know. It feels like this is more trouble than it's worth.
Oh, I agree with that. But I also think, like, it's Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
Like, I do agree. Like, would I have done this? I would have done my best to go get Walker Howard. I agree with that.
It's the difference, guys, between... And look, I'm not saying Lane has this wrong, because Lane very well may be cutting edge here. I think we're so used to program building as opposed to team building that when a coach comes in and makes the flip, we're used to it in college basketball, right? You just build a team, put the team out there. When the season ends, you build a new team. But in football, we're conditioned, I think, to, well, they're going to build this roster. They're going to have these young guys that get reps and blah, blah, blah. And maybe Lane Kiffin's going, that's outdated. I'm not doing it that way. I'm going to build teams. I'm going to, at the end of the year, I'll go back into the portal. I am the portal king. I'll go back in and I'll build a new team and we'll put that together and see what happens. So maybe what Lane said the other day, I mean, look, he's not a coach speak guy. Maybe what he said the other day was just what he meant. Hey, look, I made the room better. Period. We'll figure it out. Got time.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I guess I would just ask the question, if you're trying to build a team and you're not the Yankees in terms of salary cap, you're not the Dodgers, you're not the team that can go out and be the biggest spender, is the best way to build the best team to have three quarterbacks controlling a large portion of your salary pool?
Well, that's more than fair.
Well, their argument is if one's not here in the fall, it's only two. It's not like it's binding once they leave. You don't owe money.
Right, but my point is, like, you've already spent the money this year.
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
Like, you're not bringing someone in. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could bring someone in August.
I always thought that was the strangest part of it to me, was giving NIL deals to three guys, just because that's part of, that level of your cap.
Well, and I mean, I kind of made note, again, I didn't see everything he said. I basically just read Neil's notes, but I highlighted the comment that Lane made about the amount of playmakers they had. Neil, can you remember, like, exactly how he said? He's like, we didn't have as many guys here as I thought we were going to.
He did not think he had as many impact transfers as last year.
Yeah, I kind of made note of that. I was like, well, yeah, when you go and get three quarterbacks, yeah, I don't know if you're aware, but quarterbacks are expensive.
Yeah.
You can get a wide receiver for what you pay a quarterback, can't you, Jeff?
You can certainly get a running back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is kind of an issue right now. I mean, I made note of this earlier in the week. It's just the spring. I mean, so we'll see what comes out before August. But right now, they have two scholarship running backs, Ulysses Bentley and Quinshon Judkins.
Well, I mean, we kind of talked about this in the fall. The roster building has now kind of leaked down from the NFL to college, I used to think Hugh had a massive advantage because Hugh early on, whether or not it was his infinite wisdom or whether or not it was players he could get, the advantage that Hugh had early was he recognized having these big time receivers, these guys that would win one-on-ones, you could just kind of throw it up to them. You didn't have to have a super pinpoint accurate quarterback. These guys that could just go make these plays. There was a value there because all the big spenders still wanted the running backs. They still wanted linebackers and whatnot. So Ole Miss is always kind of a good barometer of, okay, what is cheaper to get in the playmaking department? So forever, you know, under Freeze, they were getting a bunch of receivers. Well, then all these other, you know, the big name schools started realizing, God, like, let's just start getting these receivers like everybody else has. Screw the running backs. Like, it doesn't really matter. They're overvalued, much like in the NFL. Like, we don't see a ton of first-round NFL running backs. Well, now, I mean, look at some of the big-name playmakers that Ole Miss has gotten in the portal. It's been running backs because it's kind of flipped.
Yeah.
Look, here's the bottom line. If you think about this from a – y'all are both making good points. If you concentrate this down, if they were thrilled with Jackson Dart and just felt like, hey, this guy is the guy to take us to the promised land, you still go get another quarterback, but you probably don't go get Spencer Sanders.
Yeah, of course, because you've got Walker Howard.
So, oh, yeah, I don't have to beat her. Whatever. I won't beat her on the bush. I think there's a personal problem between Lane Kiffin and Jackson Dart. That's my opinion. Like, I think there is clearly an issue. If there were not an issue, I do not think this happens.
I think November was interesting.
Yeah.
Stuff that those last couple of weeks in November were interesting for sure. I mean, I think to ignore them is foolish.
Yeah. A couple of things I want to get to. Not because we can obviously talk about this next week. We will talk about this next week after guys show up or don't show up at a press conference. Jeffrey is somebody who followed this team for a while because of their quarterback. How does Elijah Moore fit in with the Cleveland Browns? Yesterday, the Jets trade Moore to the Browns, third round pick included for a second round pick. It obviously has some Aaron Rodgers implications and different things, but from an Elijah Moore standpoint, what does that look like?
It's not a bad fit. I thought Amari Cooper was a lot better last year than I expected him to be. When I saw him in training camp, like, I was like, oh my God, he looks big and not in a good way big. But Amari Cooper showed there was still plenty left in the tank. And I think if Elijah can get in that role where he can be like the big time, like second option, I think that's a good spot for him to thrive. My only concern with them is he is going from one dysfunctional room and one dysfunctional franchise to another. I mean, the Browns are just dysfunctional. And I like Kevin Stefanski's dad. Met him a couple times. He used to be a Grizzlies exec for a while. Super nice guy. I think Kevin Stefanski's a dum-dum. And I'm not sold on Deshaun Watson. I mean, to me, Deshaun Watson is very lucky that we exhausted all of our energy crapping on Russell Wilson last year while he was sitting on the sidelines for 11 weeks, because if not for all of our, like, we're so stupid, like, all of our focus and attention just has to go to, like, what we're prisoners of the moment. And by, like, week 12, we're just kind of, like, just going to, like, go with the easy thing and just keep ripping on Russ. He was horrible. Now, you can make the argument, hey, that's a tough situation to come in on. It's, you know, week 12. You haven't practiced, whatnot. that's all well and good, but I'm keeping an eye closely this year. I never thought Deshaun was as good in the NFL, at least. I thought he put up a lot of big stats on bad teams when their team was down. And I think he got overhyped because I believe that a very large portion of the media wants to see a black quarterback be the best quarterback. And that's fine. I just don't care. So I'm very skeptical about how good he is.
Yeah, if Deshaun Watson were a baseball player, he'd be in Japan right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just reality.
Or maybe they send him down, like you do what the Cardinals did to, what's my boy, DeJong. You send him to AAA to hopefully like hit 350, 400, get some confidence back. And, you know, you don't give him a timetable. You're just like, you just go there for a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could make the argument he could get Bowered. I don't know.
I communicated, I should say. I didn't talk to him, but I communicated with Chris Easterling, who covers the Browns. He kind of indicated that, hey, Cleveland views him as a volume receiver. They think they can make him happy. They think they can give Deshaun Watson another weapon that they use a lot. And, you know, he clearly fell out of favor with the Jets. He also got very frustrated in New York. And he wasn't the only one last season when you had the quarterback play was as bad as the Jets quarterback play was. NFL wide receivers are not happy when they don't get the ball.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Breaking news.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's a fundamental thing. It's like sunrises in East, NFL wide receivers want ball.
No, I mean, all you need to know about how bad their quarterback situation was, when you have a divided locker room that is pushing for Mike White to be your guy, that shows you're not in a great quarterback spot.
Yeah, it tells you exactly where you are. And so you can imagine... You can imagine the quandary the wide receivers coach had every day when he walked into the meeting and was met with, what the hell are we doing here? This is my career. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting the ball. So, I mean, at least initially, I think Elijah's going to be pretty happy with the change of scenery, but Deshaun Watson's got to get him the ball. And I'm with you. What I saw late last season, I'm not confident Deshaun can get the ball to anybody consistently.
Something that I have no idea about, but I'm going to ask both you guys. I see yesterday that Armando Bacot, the North Carolina center, coming back to school for a fifth year, looked like he had tons of NBA draft potential anyway. But he made over $500,000 last year in NIL. Says he's going to make probably over $1 million this current season for the Tar Heels playing there. This story that I'm reading mentioning Drew Timmy, the kid at Purdue, on centers that are pretty unwanted by the NBA, the way the league has changed right now, but they still are very, very valuable at the college level, and especially even from an NIL standpoint, to make a lot of money. Neil mentioned this in something he wrote about Beard the last few days, or maybe the roster. I forget which one it was. But are we seeing this trickle down? I mean, in 5 to 10 years, are those guys not wanted in college the same way either? I mean, is this NFL fullback down the road? I mean, what happens to these 7'2 rebounding centers in college?
Tell you about Northeast Spark, NESPARC. Service people across rural communities. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESPark.com. 662-238-3159. Phone service, portal controls, network security, and much more. So call the office for details. Get the best internet in Lafayette County, as well as parts of Pontotoc and Union counties that not previously have internet. Again, that is 662-238-3159.
Our friends at Dead Soxy have a free gift for you. The gift is exclusive. Head over to deadsoxy.com/rebels. Join the NIL subscription. By signing up, you'll be the first to hear about exclusive collaborations, new products, and even receive freebies on the regular. That means you'll not only have the freshest socks in town, but you'll also be contributing directly to Ole Miss Athletics, helping support your favorite players. As your first gift for signing up, you'll receive a free pair of limited edition Juice Kiffin socks, only available to members. To get your gift, all you have to do is add a pair of socks from Dead Soxy's Ole Miss NIL subscription to your cart, and your free pair of Juice Kiffin socks will automatically appear in your cart. No membership fees to become a member. All you have to do is start your subscription by adding one pair of NIL socks to your cart, choosing how often you want new pairs from the Ole Miss collection delivered. Go head over to deadsoxy.com/rebels and sign up for the NIL subscription today to show your support. Game Changer patches are the only two-patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start. The warm-up patch used before or while you drink. The overtime patch used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game, ready for the next play. Go to GameChangerPatch.com, promo code REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase. ACS is owned by my friend Clay McNutt in Baldwin, Mississippi. It's a complete electrical control system solution provider. It's a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. To learn more about ACS, go to ACSLLCMS.com or call 662-601-4381. Also brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry. Lamons at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford's been serving the Oxford area for 3/4 of a century. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls. They've got fashion jewelry, whatever you're looking for, they've got it at Lamons. It's lamonsfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. I'll be taping a Mind on My Money a little later this morning. It's brought to you by Pinnacle. They're based in Jackson, but they've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. You can learn more at mypinwealth.com, mypinnwealth.com. If you're planning a vacation, you need to get in touch with my friend John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Just give him some parameters, give John a budget, and then sit back and you don't have to do anything. He can take care of you, whether you're going overseas, whether you're going to 30A, whether you're going to the beach, whether you're going to Disney, whatever the case may be. John can help you make your trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. It's 901-494-3387 or jedwards at regencytravel.net.
Podcast also brought to you by the Ole Miss Athletics Foundation. The 2023 football season will be here before you know it. Season ticket renewals are due March 31st. You can renew now by logging onto your account on olemisstix.com or calling the Ole Miss Ticket Office 662-915-7159. Also, Ole Miss basketball, men's and women's, currently accepting new season ticket orders for those basketball teams. You can submit your order today, same number, 915-7159 or olemisstix.com. And current season ticket holders can renew starting July 1st. And remember, Morgan Wallen tickets available those two nights, LSU weekend, April 22nd, 23rd in Oxford at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. MorganWallen.com for tickets to that.
Well, I mean, let's start right there. Baycott's not 7'2".
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
You know, Baycott and Timmy, because I think they're both similar in this capacity. They are both undersized true fives that, like, with Timmy, it's a little different. Timmy's problem is Timmy offensively probably could play in the NBA, but Timmy's problem is he can't guard anyone in the NBA. If you even look at it, watch kind of what Gonzaga does down the stretch. They take him out on defense. Like, he's a defensive liability even in college. So that's kind of Timmy's problem. With Baycott, it's just he's just so undersized because he is still a pretty good defender. He's a great rebounder. It's just there's a position, you know, there's, I don't know, Neil, how many true back-to-the-basket bigs are there right now in the NBA that make a difference? Embiid, obviously.
Yeah, but even Embiid has
stretches.
Yeah, Embiid can play facing the basket 20 feet out and be effective. I mean, that's like Nikola Jokic is huge. And so people go, oh, he's a big burly. No. If you watch him play, I mean, dude sometimes plays the point.
No, he is a 7-1 point guard.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the reasons that people are so excited about Victor Wembanyama. It's not because people are excited about Victor Wembanyama and last season Chet Holmgren, not because they're so tall. It's because they're tall and they have this very versatile offensive skill set.
They're so skilled.
I mean, you and I talked about this yesterday. If you look around the NBA right now, the NBA wants guys who can shoot, who can see the floor, and you have to be a switchable defender.
Correct.
Or else they hunt you, and they hunt you successfully in that league.
They just do handoffs until they get the switch where you've got a mismatch.
Yes, and then they attack. And you can see it happening. Like you can't in the NBA. It's the funniest thing when people do it. Not funny. It's people like to criticize the NBA because they've made up their mind that they don't like it. And that's fine. They go, well, they don't play defense. No, it's everything is about defense. I listened to JJ Redick the other day. He was talking about specifically about the Thunder, which is why Carson sent it to me. But it was all about defense. It was everything he was talking about was about defensive ability. And if you can guard, if you can switch and you can guard all five, you're going to play in the NBA for a long time, especially if you can shoot the three somewhere around 34%. You'll play forever. But if you're the guy that they can hunt, and a guy like Bacot would get hunted in the NBA, and that's why Drew Timmy's not going to play in the NBA. They will hunt him, and they'll find him, and they'll play him off the floor. And once you get played off the floor where a coach goes, it's kind of like Enos Kanter back in the day, where a coach goes, I can't play him in a playoff series. I can play him on the back end of a back-to-back, and we went to Phoenix one night, and we're in Salt Lake City the next because everybody's kind of going through the motions a little bit because it's a schedule loss or a schedule win. But in a playoff series, I can't play this guy.
No, I mean, think about this on, let's see, Tuesday night. Right? No, Monday night. The Grizzlies are playing the Mavs. Do you know who the Grizzlies primarily defended Kyrie with in the fourth quarter? Jaren Jackson Jr.
Well, he's their best defender. I mean, he's probably the defensive player of the year.
But I mean, my point is you're 7-1.
Yeah.
4/5 is defending Kyrie.
Yeah. And gave him fits, right?
I mean, Kyrie had 28 through three quarters and didn't score in the fourth or didn't hit a shot in the fourth. I mean, that's just what it is. And so the question though for me is there an opportunity? I'm more fascinated in terms of college basketball roster development. I'm more fascinated about the CBA with the NBA of how quickly they've been saying for, I don't know, Neil, now I swear to God, what, 7-8 years that they want to get rid of one and done. And they still haven't been able to do it. Now, most believe this time it's different, that they are going to actually be able to get rid of it. I personally think if they get rid of one and done, it helps college basketball. I think if you have got, I think part of the problem right now in college basketball is we see you can't really turn down a McDonald's All-American if you can get him. But there's a lot of crap that comes with a McDonald's All-American. And I think if you can get rid of the guys that don't really want to play college basketball, I think that helps the sport. And you can have more continuity and have more roster. And maybe it's possible because guys like Drew Timmy and Amando Bacot they're good basketball players. They just may not be good NBA players.
And so, college basketball is never going to have the collection of talent to make them obsolete in the college.
There's not enough good players. Enough good players in college. Like Trace Jackson Davis, I think, is another good example.
He's a great example.
He's a great college basketball player. Am I convinced he's going to be a great NBA player? I hope he is. He seems like a good dude. Like, I hope so. But would I bet on it? Probably not. I don't know what position he plays because he's not a great shooter.
And it sounds like he's coming back. He's going to play another year of college.
But doesn't that make sense? This to
absolutely.
Me,
absolutely.
Like, he's in the same mold. It's like, okay, would I, if I can make $500,000, $1 million, whatever the number is in America versus having to go to somewhere halfway around the world or maybe further or farther away around the world, wouldn't I rather do that?
Like, I'm really interested. I was thinking about this. Like, you look at Tennessee's success. He's not going out and signing a bunch of future NBA stars. I mean, this team that he's got right now is really good and would have been, I mean, they might be the favorite to get out of their quadrant right now. And they would be if they had Ziegler, but I never watched Zakai Ziegler and went, oh, NBA point guard. No, I never thought that. I don't watch Santiago Vescovi and go, that dude's going to be like, people go, oh, he's the next Manu. I'm like, except he's 5 inches shorter. I mean, he's not Manu Ginobili at all. He's a really good college player. I'm interested to watch what Musselman does at Arkansas after this year. Because last year he went to the Elite Eight with a team whose best player was probably Jalen Williams, who ended up being a better player than maybe people thought he was. But it was like BJ Note and some of those dudes. And this year, and it's kind of worked out. They upset Kansas and they're in the Sweet 16 tonight. But he had Nick Smith Jr., who's been a headache. He's had Anthony Black, who's a developing player, who's a lottery pick. He's had Jordan Walsh, who's a developing player, who's come on late and has probably really raised his stock. But I'm curious, when this season's over, however it ends, does he go back into the portal and go, I'm going to get some guys who are a little less profile and more dogs who I can put in my system and play, or do I go back and become – kind of run the John Calipari thing from a few years back where I'm going to see how many blue chip athletes I can bring in here and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I mean, what? I guess for me, though, the bigger question is I'm more curious about guys like Cal, Barnes, Tony Bennett in this sense. I don't think these guys are stupid coaches.
Mm-mm.
I do think, though, they need to take a play out of Saban's playbook. I think that they believe that the game should be played a certain way. And Cal has been a little bit more fluid, but Cal always, whether or not he was at UMass, whether or not he was at Memphis, whether or not he's been at Kentucky, his primary belief is like, you have to play defense first. And I don't necessarily think that's wrong. The problem is where they're getting passed by is now college teams have recognized what the NBA started to recognize basically 10 years ago, which is, I hope everybody's writing this down, 3 points is more than 2 points. And everyone's just shooting a bunch of threes. And so, like, I don't think Kentucky's roster is a problem, but look at that Kansas State game. After Kansas State didn't make a single three in the entire first half, the difference in the game is Noel hit his threes and they put him away. And you have these teams that play this slow, keep the, you know, possessions limited offenses. And man, if you're not hitting shots, like, you leave yourself vulnerable. Like, Virginia had no business losing to Furman. Like, they go up 12, they're dominating the game, but they couldn't hit enough shots and couldn't score enough. And then lo and behold, you have a guy make one of the biggest mistakes we've ever seen on that kind of stage, and it allows Furman to win the game. And that's where I think these guys are going to have a real crisis moment. I don't believe that Nick Saban loves the way that Alabama has to play football now in terms of what they have to do on offense, leaving his defense vulnerable and whatnot. But in the end, you know what Nick Saban really likes more than playing a certain way?
Winning.
Winning.
And I think these coaches are going to have to start having a come to Jesus meeting.
Yeah.
Like, your scheme is the problem.
I want to get your thoughts on the games coming up for today and tomorrow, kicking off 5:30 TBS today, Michigan State, Kansas State, and the Spartans, actually, the lower seed, favored by 2 points.
Yeah, that is the official My Brain Is in a Pretzel line of the week.
I want to be all in on K-State here, and I'm scared to death.
I kind of like Noel. Okay. So Noel's also, he's also from Queens. This is going to be his first time playing in the Garden. This is going one of two ways. This is either going to be, dude's going to have 30 and he's going to be the story, or the dude's going to go like 2 of 28. Like, there's no in between. I feel like this isn't like just a casual 18-8 kind of performance. He just strikes me as the guy, though, that he's not going to go 2 for 28. Like, he seems like the guy that's just going to get after it. Like, this is his moment. And he's going to live up to it.
Yeah.
Then there's also the, you really want to bet against Tom Izzo right now? It's like,
I know.
Like,
I told Neil his body language on the court. I mean, I watched him and went, dude, that dude can coach for me anytime. I mean, he was hyped the other day. I was like, okay, we're in. All good.
Is there, I was trying to think, is there another coach that coaches as tough as he does and as intensely as he does that his players love him? I mean, I guess Cal to a certain extent, but like, I don't know, like with Cal, it's like, I don't know. I just feel
and like Bruce Izzo can do it for spurts, but Izzo does it constantly.
Correct.
Just constant. So are you taking Michigan State?
So the problem is the Bear had the stat. Chris Felica had the stats. Like, this is like the ninth time that you have this type of situation where like a 7 seed's favored against a 3. I believe it's like 6 of the 9 times the 3 has won. The problem is like the other 3 times it's been an Izzo team that has beaten them. And so I lean towards K-State. But I recognize, like, I could pick K-State, and I'm going to be sitting with a losing ticket.
Arkansas, UConn, Connecticut by 4.
So, Neil, this is my problem. These are, like, the two teams that speak to me the most. Oh, my God, you have a mass collection of talent that has underperformed this season. UConn's been more consistent. The thing that's, if you want Arkansas, this is the case. UConn really doesn't have a point guard, and UConn has really struggled with pressure defense, and they turn it over a ton, and that's what Arkansas wants.
This game is going to be determined by who the officiating crew is and how they call the game. If they call it super tight, UConn's going to win. If they let it get sloppy and physical, I actually think Arkansas pulls this off.
So to me, I think it more comes down to, is this a jump shooting game? Because if it's not, I like Arkansas. If it ends
if UConn goes and shoots 40% from the 3-point line, they're winning the game.
Yeah, if this becomes a jump shooting contest, I think it favors UConn. But I think Neil and I are basically making the same point. Neil's point is, if they allow the game to get physical, I'm not sure how many shots UConn gets up.
Here's something that happened last week that not a lot of people talked about, because we don't talk about this. All season long, Arkansas played these super close games that they lost. And there was a common thread in a lot of them. Actually, there were two. One was foul trouble, which they had in the Kansas game.
Yep.
But two, they missed free throws. Like, they lost in Tuscaloosa for only one reason. They outplayed Alabama in Tuscaloosa the whole game, but they missed their free throws the whole game. Well, against Illinois and against Kansas, they made their free throws. So when they go downhill, they've got so many big guys, Black and Walsh and Council and even Devo Davis, who's really able to create close to the rim. They have guys who can go make plays. And when they get fouled, if they make their free throws, the margin for error of beating them, it shrinks.
Well, that, and then, I mean, to me, the other thing was, like, you know, looked like they moved Smith down in the pecking order.
Yeah, they quit. They're stopping some of the drama with him. It's just
I think that's giving them a little bit more continuity.
And the other thing with them, and we talked about it yesterday, Walsh has become an elite defender. I mean, he's probably gone from having to come back to Arkansas next year to going 15th in the draft.
I mean, to me, the biggest difference between Arkansas from what I've watched this season, and I admitted, I don't know why this is. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Arkansas basketball that I haven't had for Arkansas football or for Arkansas baseball. I don't know why. I've always just kind of had, my dad has always worked in Bentonville and they used to go to Hogs games. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe that's it. I found myself watching this team all year and they speak to me because they just have so much talent. They could be good. They choose not to be good. I just wonder if maybe moving Smith down the line has kind of toughened them up, because that was the ultimate game last week that I've seen Arkansas play where Arkansas quits, lays down, and
all year.
And they,
hey, give Smith credit. And this is what I'm interested to see what happens now. Give Smith credit. He doesn't play. They take him out. They're like, you're too soft. That's basically what Musselman told him. You're too soft. And they pulled him off the court, and Davis carried them. Devo Davis is the reason they're still playing today. Davis fouls out. He had no choice but to put Smith back in. And to his credit, for 2 minutes and change, he defended his ass off. Maybe he figured something out. Who knows?
Running through this thing, Tennessee, Rick Barnes, Dusty May tonight, 8 o'clock for that one. The Vols by 5 is the line.
So this game terrifies me. And I broke my rule last week. I knew Tennessee was the right play against Duke. I just thought they couldn't score. I think when Rick Barnes is an underdog and no one's giving him a shot, that's when he's live. Because his teams are tough and they'll punch you in the mouth and they don't take it from anybody. I am just very terrified of Rick Barnes as a favorite. Like, I also, though, will give Tennessee credit. FAU's not really the type of team they lose to. I found myself, though, more impressed by FAU when I saw them. Like, I was not that impressed with them the 3 or 4 games that I watched during the year. Like, they beat Andy in the final in Frisco, but that game just, I don't know. They had one guy. They had one guy go off for 30, and that team was a little bit more athletic than I thought. And they're deep. That game just becomes, FAU's not shot the three very well. That's primarily their way to score. If they shoot the three ball well, I don't know if Tennessee can keep up. This also, that just reminds me of, this is not really the type of game that Tennessee typically loses, where they're going to have the more physically dominant team. One thing that I do give Tennessee credit for last week, the way that Lafayette game played out, that was the same game that Virginia played against Furman, and that Tennessee was better for probably 35 minutes, but they couldn't score enough, and they let Lafayette back in the game. The difference was Tennessee made 2 or 3 plays down the stretch, hit a couple of free throws, hit a, you know, a shot here and there, and Lafayette was never able to finish the comeback. And so Tennessee won the game and moved on, whereas Virginia didn't.
I know you got to run through these quickly. I know you got to go. Just your pick on these last 5, Gonzaga, UCLA tonight, 8:45, UCLA -1.5.
So I've got UCLA at 12-1. I have Bama and UCLA left as my futures. I have Bama at 20-1. I'm obviously not going to hedge with San Diego State because I think San Diego State's not good. I think I'm going to take Gonzaga on the money line because this is the game that worries me. This is the game where if UCLA has to play like big time offense, I'm a little worried right now. And Gonzaga's offense right now is clicking pretty well.
Are you taking the 7.5 with Bama if you had to take it against San Diego State?
I'm laying it.
Okay.
I will be laying. Listen, my hands are tied here, guys. I was wrong place, wrong time. Yeah. I got that bet in January. I have to live with it.
Yeah. So you're riding it all the way out. Miami and Houston.
Listen.
Houston -7.2.
It may be a crimson stain on this tournament.
Okay.
But money's money.
Yeah. Just business. All right.
Justin Hill Creamery. JustinHillCreamery.com. Hope you guys took part in the cheese class at the Travelers Hotel in Clarksdale last night. But if you didn't, if you're in Oxford, it's just off Molly Bar. It is on White Oak Lane. There's small batch artisanal cheeses, charcuterie boards, catering, grazing tables, and so much more. They do plenty of workshops, 662-419-9201, or cheese at johnsonhillcreamery.com. Let them take care of you. Go to the website. You can shop right there online. They've got the great condiments, things that accompany the cheeses, the charcuterie trays. They even do some catering, depending on what you have coming up. So check out their Instagram page, Johnson Hill Creamery, or again, shop right there online. That's 662-419-9201.
Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the square is called Opa. It's a place if you're coming up this weekend for the baseball series or whatever case may be. Make it part of your weekend. Fabulous food, great craft libations as well at Opa on the square in Oxford. Speaking of on the square, check out Rafters Music and Food. Looking for a place to watch some of the NCAA tournament. Take a break from the baseball series, whatever the case may be. Stop at Rafters. Grab a burger, a po' boy, one of those appetizers, and enjoy it before the college kids take over that evening. I'll have a mailbag up a little later today. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all of your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. Whitney sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can reach her at 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency has been connecting great job opportunities to candidates since 1967. If you're on the job hunt, they can help you. If your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, they can help you as well. It's always free for the candidate, and companies only pay if you decide to hire a candidate that Service Specialist sends. You have nothing to lose, so give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call at 662-832-5138 or check out their new and improved website, ServiceSpecialistLTD.com. Don't just accept what you see, but imagine something new. Step forward, chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental is helping people reinvent themselves one smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are the virtually invisible way to improve your smile, so call Corinth Dental today. For a no-cost digital scan of your teeth, let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile, 12 months, no interest, no down payment. Financing is available at CorinthDental.com. And Southern Traditions Farm is a 68-acre, 32-stall upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. Sand rings, grass rings, miles of wooded trails. There's so much offered at Southern Traditions. It's also a great place for a party, a reunion. It's a perfect venue enjoy. So get in touch with them on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm.
Houston, -7.
Miami feels like the obvious play. So I have Houston in this category of they're physical. I think they're good. If they play a team that makes them score, like I want Miami in this game, and I can't really explain it why. I just think Miami has more shot makers.
Okay. Well, you get a touchdown to do it. Princeton and Creighton. Creighton, the 6th seed. Princeton, obviously, the 15. Creighton by 9.5, though.
We make a promise as a country to not watch this game.
Why?
I mean, credit to Princeton. They kicked Missouri's ass. And the way that I watched them kick Missouri's ass, it made me kind of think a little differently about that second half against Arizona. I thought Arizona really choked in that second half. But now when you see, like, Princeton's just good at getting offensive rebounds, running efficient offense, and making you bored and making you uncomfortable. I don't know. I feel like this is where Cinderella dies. Give me Creighton. I hate trusting Creighton, but give me Creighton.
-9.5, though.
It's too big, so give me it. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Xavier, Texas. Xavier, the 3. Texas, the 2. Horns by 4.
I think I want Xavier. I think Xavier can hit more shots. Now, here's where Xavier will... Xavier believes that defense is just something to do to pass the time before you get the ball back.
Good luck today. You got 5 hours of John Morant talk or something. So
Texas is going to hunt a couple of those Xavier guards. It's going to be really interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, boys.
Jeffrey Wright, they're joining us on the My Perfect Franchise Hotline as we close here. Again, football practice coming up today, coverage.rebelgrove.com. We'll talk plenty of basketball. Got a lot of college baseball coming your way as well. Again, Ole Miss in Florida. Tomorrow night as of now, but
I did an interview with Chris Lee. We'll have it as hand raised guys later today. And a little over an hour of SEC baseball from your boy.
Yeah,
we talked basketball for about 10 minutes.
You watched more than I did last weekend, honestly. I got really locked into basketball last week. I watched very little baseball that wasn't Ole Miss.
I made myself turn the other TV to baseball, and I just flipped around. I watched parts of every series but one. I did not see Georgia, South Carolina, in large part because I forgot.
So, I know you got to go. I know we're on a little bit of a schedule here, but I have to at least mention this. Major League Baseball is going to cut plenty of time out of games with this pitch clock. It works. Have you seen this where they're worried about the amount of time it takes the kids to get the bats off the field?
Yes.
Now they're mad about bat boys. What the hell are we doing? If it takes 6 seconds versus four, can we not just let them get the freaking bat?
You know, and there was something I saw yesterday along these lines. Someone put a timer on the at-bat, the Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani at-bat.
Okay.
And for the record, Mike Trout's played a lot of baseball. It's like the 28th time in his whole career that he swung and missed at three pitches in one at-bat.
Correct.
Okay? So that doesn't happen. They put the timer on it. It would have been a pitch violation on Ohtani on every pitch.
Oh, really?
And yet, in that moment, did anybody go, man, this is really taking way too long? No, I watched that and was like totally enthralled.
It's going to rush postseason moments like that. I'm telling you, you haven't been to baseball yet. In person, it doesn't breathe.
Look, I told you last weekend, I didn't watch a lot of the preseason stuff because I was busy, other things. I know people don't like this take, and I understand why. I don't think it matters. I think there are 30 games that matter for SEC teams, and I watched those 30 games. But I did tell you that I was going back and forth between a couple of games, and the one that struck me was one of the games I was going back and forth between was Arkansas-Auburn. Mm-hmm. And when I left it was like second inning, and when I came back, it was like fifth. And it only been like 10 minutes. I mean, not literally, but they were flying, man. They were flying. And they were like the Tennessee-Missouri game went fast. Like you looked up and you're like, oh, I missed it. It's gone. And I thought, I did think to myself, in person, do you even have time to go get a beer?
No, you lose an inning because it's a deal where, and this is what's funny. So from a strike ball pitch count standpoint, the team wants the advantage, so they're calling it when, you know, they're on the umpire's ass to make sure they call it on the other team and all that kind of stuff. But what you are seeing already 4 weeks into the year, 5 weeks into the year, is on mound visits, they're kind of going, ah, screw it. Okay, fine, whatever. But it's already loosening a little there because the way the rule has written is 30 seconds for the entire mound visit, and then as soon as that 30 seconds ends, the pitch clock starts for the next pitch. Like, go ahead, get with it, go. And even the clock operators, that's just not happening. The umpires are letting that part breathe a little bit. But I don't know that, you know, you said you think it potentially doesn't get enforced the same way as the season moves on. The problem is that both managers are yelling it about getting the advantage from the other side that's almost forcing it to stay in lane a little bit.
I guess what I'm interested to see, and I'm a little concerned about it, is get into super regional. Ole Miss and North Carolina in a super regional in Chapel Hill. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
And you're down two runs. You have two on, two out. And the pitcher's just focused on, hey, here's what I'm throwing. Here's where I'm throwing it. I need to. And are we really going, hey, nope, you took 21 seconds. That's ball three. Are we really doing that? I mean, the Ohtani thing. Hey, nope, that's Shohei. That's ball three.
Yeah, Trout. Strike three, World Baseball Classic over.
I mean, are we seriously going to do that? Because there's something about those moments. Nobody, again, I mean, my wife doesn't watch sports. And we were down in there, and she's watching. This is her first time to even kind of figure out who this Ohtani guy is, because Carson and I are both explaining to her, hey, this is the best player in the United States. Mike Trout. This guy is the best player maybe in the world, Ohtani. Yeah. He's a free agent at the end of the year. We want the Cubs to give him everything. Just $600 million? Sure. A billion? Yes. Because if this guy signs with the Cubs, we're losing $1,000 in merchandise money immediately out of our family till. I mean, I will buy all the jerseys.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't be alone. I mean, this guy's a big deal. And so oh, and by the way, they play on the same team in Major League Baseball. They both play for the Angels. Here's this big moment. Nobody was like, you know, he really needs to hurry up. But he was taking 25, 26, 27 seconds. And there was drama that was built. And that's part of baseball, man. I mean, that's the big at-bat that takes a minute. That we talk about, hey, what's he going to throw here? Does he challenge him one more time? What does he do? Does he waste a pitch? Oh, that was close. Can you believe he took that? It's part of, like, what makes baseball special is the drama. The buildup.
It's the two reasons why in college baseball there's more walks. One is umpires are being graded in real time off TrackMan because they're tightening up the zones. And two, it's that coaches and pitchers are not able to think through processes at all or even slow down and go, okay, what are we doing? It's just, okay, I got to call the next pitch. I got to get it in. We got to go. And it's creating a lot of problems. I mean, you saw the spring training at bat a couple of days ago, and the dude just forgot. He just thought it was like last year, and he stepped out of the box real quick. It wasn't like a Nomar thing. He just kind of stepped out and did his gloves again, stepped back in. And, I mean, I'm talking as soon as that 7 seconds on the clock, umpire, nope, that's it, strike three. It's like, calm down. Like, just give it half a second.
But what it tells you, and it goes to your bat boy point, what it tells you is that Major League Baseball or the people who are running college baseball or whatever are telling these umpires, enforce it or you're out.
Yeah.
Enforce it. I mean,
the paragraph on the bat boy thing, bat boys and girls are to meet with a visiting team before each series to discuss equipment preferences, and MLB will monitor the performance of bat boys and girls throughout the season. And the league might ask for a bat boy or girl to be replaced if they're contributing to game delays.
So it tells you that they're all in on this, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you're going to, little Johnny's got to go. He took an extra second. Yeah, he took an extra second to get the equipment off the field. It tells you they're going to enforce this.
It means that there will have to be some representative of a team in every dugout making sure the bat boy is paying attention at all times. There'll have to be a person whose job, almost like a get back coach, to, hey, go. It is. You're not going to rely on the 6-year-old to just remember.
You know what? And it's fun. Like in April when the Braves play the Guardians, okay. But isn't there something about like September baseball when it's the Cardinals and the Dodgers and the maybe the Brewers are right on the Cardinals' neck, right? They're just right behind them. And you're watching this game and it's the ninth inning and here comes Freddie Freeman and there's two on, two out. And you're really trying to focus. Okay, what are we throwing here? What's he looking for? You got 20 seconds. Throw the ball.
You ought to grab a credential one of the next like 4 weeks and just watch 3 innings of a game in person and go, oh, wow, this feels really, really funny.
No, I am going to do that. I mean, because you said that the other day and it resonated with me because watching on TV, I'm like, oh, this is great. They're going fast. And it is good that they're going fast. They needed to speed it up. But because you don't want 4-hour games.
No.
But they're playing a lot of 2.5-hour games.
They are. Yeah. I mean, those 14 runs scored, and at the end of the seventh inning, they were at like 156 the other day.
You're so, moving.
Yeah, no, it's going. So anyway, football today, rubblegrove.com. Have stuff up there. Again, maybe it changes. Maybe we don't get quarterbacks. I don't know. It's just we can't promise that. We don't get to make that decision, but that's at least what they told us earlier in the week. And then we'll tell you any game time changes for tomorrow night with the Gators and the Rebels. Chris Lee, at least. Here on our last show of the week as well from this time slot. Got a lot of other stuff going on. Brian, a podcast with Graham Doty, voice of Ole Miss Women's Basketball, talking about the Rebels in Seattle and kind of what that rise has been like over the last few seasons for that program. So that's on the network and much more. Take care. Stay safe. Talk to you very soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.